From beanies to carry bags and from shoes to caps, browse our shop now at tntradio.live. Critically analyzing global affairs, this is the Hervoy Moritz Show on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Hello, everybody. It's the Hervoy Moritz Show, and I totally agree with my virtual colleague, Patrick Henningsen, that national divorce is not a good idea. A house divided cannot stand. That made me think of my other home of Croatia, and you've got the coastal area called Dalmatia. I'm a Dalmatian, in fact, and the northern part where you've got like Zagreb and Slavonia, and we make fun of each other, you know, the two cultural halves of Croatia. And imagine as tiny as Croatia is, if we did a national divorce, I mean, it, you know, when you use other examples, it's crazy, and it would play totally into the hands of the globalists and globalism to split apart a country, balkanize it, divide and conquer. So when it comes to national divorce, no thank you. We should try to find common ground, as bad as the situation is. But I don't think, second civil war or national divorce is the answer. That's my rant for today. Looking at some news items, the Daily Princetonian, the student newspaper at Princeton, surveyed its staff, and it turns out they are overwhelmingly left of center. You should see the chart. Very left wing, about 43%, and slightly left wing, about almost 41%. So that's pretty much like everybody. Like almost 85% of the staff are either very left wing or slightly left wing. 10% are moderate, 4% are slightly right wing, and very right wing is 0.4%, and other 0.9%. Even here in Mexico, where I taught at the university, which is the university where I taught was more, you know, capitalist or class oriented. Nevertheless, at the university, I would find, I can't give you the number, but my feel was a majority beyond 50% were certainly left wing. So that is interesting. And isn't it also interesting how the IRS made a strange house call to Matt Taibbi, the journalist, you know, I think previously from Rolling Stone, if I'm not mistaken, but doing the Twitter files and all that. An agent showed up at Matt Taibbi's home. So, you know, what are the chances? It was the same day he testified before the committee investigating weaponization of the federal government. Totally, you know, not suspicious, right? Total coincidence that of all people at that time, I mean, it's so in your face, the authoritarianism light that we're experiencing so far in America. There was a great interaction between the UN spokesperson and I think it was a Chinese media person. And I mean, this is insane. It was really good. The journalist pointed out how, well, basically the UN spokesperson is unaware of US soldiers in Syria and unable to save. It violates international law and struggles to explain the difference between US troops in Syria and Russian troops in Ukraine. And the UN is just flagrantly not doing its job. I mean, lying. How can this spokesperson, I mean, a teenager would know that U.S. troops are in Syria illegally taking 80% of Syrian oil, and yet the U.N. spokesperson is playing dumb? I mean, come on. I interviewed on my podcast Swiss Claudio Grass, who told me, you know, he used to work for the U.N. On Syria, and he said he would, like, compile reports that showed the true situation, and the UN would rewrite it, pretend like everything's fine. And my professor as well, Alfred de Zayas, would do the same thing when he did his report on Venezuela and other places, whatever you think of Venezuela. But the UN just changes the narrative to whatever it sees fit. So this is from people, you know, working there that I've talked to or known. personally. And my favorite tweet of the day comes from my friend David McCutcheon out in Scotland. He's founded the political party Sovereignty. So if you're Scottish, support Sovereignty. They are for Scottish independence from the UK and the EU, true independent. And you've got this guy from the EU, I forget his name, Charles Michel, saying Russia and its proxies are increasingly trying to destabilize Moldova. You have responded to these threats and Russia's war with courage and resolve. Moldova can count on full EU support. David says the Russians are trying to annex Moldova. How dare they? That's our job. That's actually true. The EU wants to annex Moldova. So what hypocrisy there? I'm not supporting either side, but you know, you can't say, oh, Russia's trying to annex Moldova. So are we, you know? So just the double standards. Unbelievable. All right. Let me remind people, folks, as we say in the US, to get the TNT Radio smartphone app. Download the app for your surveillance device on Apple. If you've got an iPhone on the Google Play Store, or if you've got a de-Google phone, you can do it through Aurora Store. You can listen live with the TNT Radio app anywhere, anytime. Get it now and stay up to speed on TNT Radio.
The facts, no spin or agenda.
Not enough with the lies. We need the facts.
This is today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
At a recent town hall in Ottawa, Canadian Prime Minister Justin Castro, Justin Trudeau, argued that social media needs to be censored in order to keep people safe from anti-vaxxers. Personally, I'm a no-vaxxer, but whatever. And flat earthers. Here with the story, joining me now is TNT Radio News producer Adam Clark, aka Ruckus.
Thanks, Hervory. What a time to be alive. Holy moly. Woo. Okay, so, yep. This is pretty cringy. This is really fascinating. All right, so good old Castro Trudeau said he wants to responsibilize social media companies to protect citizens against disinformation online, saying that companies do not currently have to abide by policies against disinformation online, saying that companies do not currently have to abide by policies paid by, quote, taxes to keep you safe, end quote. Okay. As reported by outlet Reclaim the Net, the Prime Minister held a town hall in Canada's capital of Ottawa recently to discuss online safety, misinformation, climate change, and more, taking audience questions over a period of about a whole, 120 minutes. So he held it down for 2 hours, Hervory. So, quote, governments have very limited tools to protect people in an online world, which is a good thing. It allows for a tremendous amount of freedom, freedom of expression, freedom of discovery. No oppressive governments controlling what you see, what you want. This is according to Trudeau. But it also opens us up to a tremendous amount of crap, of hate speech, of things that are legal, but also things that are just going to bring us down roads where we're going to get lost, end quote. Trudeau described his own self-perceived disinformation journey, contemplating those who think the world is flat, an ancient Greek philosophy. Quote, I remember a few years ago before the pandemic, getting really fascinated by flat earthers and trying to understand, sort of, the thinking behind them of people who decided actively to create an identity for themselves that was to just clearly reject what science settled thousands of years ago with the ancient Greeks and that there's no real contrast to, end quote. During his rant, Trudeau also suggested that no person or civilization in history ever thought the earth may be flat as opposed to round. Quote, there wasn't really any moment back in recorded history when people wondered whether the earth was actually flat or not, end quote. Mm-hmm. The Liberal Party leader then connected quote-unquote flat earthers with anti-vaxxers, describing the quote phenomenon of anti-vaxxers and anti-science, anti-skeptics, and this rise in these echo chambers that are validating this kind of thinking in ways that have real consequences. Trudeau warned, quote, there are people in Canada who died surrounded by their families because they truly and genuinely believed that the vaccine was more dangerous than the virus, and it killed them, end quote. The prime minister then likened online regulation to keeping people safe, describing a type of online quote-unquote police before comparing it to regulations in consumer markets. Trudeau urged, quote, I can't protect everyone from every bit of disinformation on the internet, so we have to have reflections on how we move forward, how we responsibilize the companies that are controlling so much, the private companies that are controlling so much of the public square you now live in that doesn't have police paid by your taxes to keep you safe. It doesn't have rules around businesses to regulate so you don't get scammed by the corner store. This is the new world we're in that we're going to have to try and adjust to. And I can tell you, I'm worried about the direction we're going, end quote. Wow, Hervory. There's video of this. I think I'm going to sit down and watch the whole 2 hours worth. This is fascinating. What do you think?
Oh, man. I don't know how you're going to torture yourself like that. At least put it on double speed. I played a clip, well, a minute clip of this, I think a week ago with our friend Terry Wolf. And there's just so much wrong here. You know, he says there wasn't really any moment back in recorded history when people wondered whether the earth was actually flat or not. That's flat out true. I mean, false, you know, wasn't it back hundreds of years ago when they were exploring the planet, they thought the map was flat, they would fall off. I don't think that's true. When he says there's people in Canada who died surrounded by their families because they truly believe that the vaccine, so the unvaccinated died. There's plenty of people who have been vaccinated who have died. I've got friends here in Mexico who tell me they believe they have vaccine injuries. And I'm not even talking about the Pentagon juice, the COVID-19 84 vaccine. I mean, I got a friend who tells me, middle-aged guy who says he got the flu vaccine and now he's like lost hearing or something in one ear. It happened right after that. So, I mean, just so many things he says that are wrong. And then this idea that they want to protect, I don't want anything from the government. You know, just make sure, you know, murderers and thieves are put away. The basic protection that we need for law and order. But beyond that, I mean, I was just thinking I need to go renew a passport. And, you know, they only last 10 years. And you think about it, if you don't have a passport, you can't move on this planet. That's crazy. Like to think you have to ask every 10 years, you have to go ask the government for permission to be able to roam around on this planet. That is insane. And 100 years ago, it didn't used to be like that. You know, this came about in World War One. So there's just more and more control. And we all know where this is headed, right? And to link flat Earth with vaccines and like, no, I don't believe in that the Earth is flat. What does that have to do with me being a no vaxxer? Nothing. Well, what's he going to throw in next? Like lizards and aliens and Elvis? Like, come on, please. Yeah. So he's totally being disingenuous.
Yeah, I thought you knew that, Hervory. I didn't need Trudeau to tell me that just because I'm an anti-vaxxer, quote unquote, that also makes me a whole bunch of other quote unquotes, including a tinfoil reinforced MAGA hat wearing flat earther. I know I've known this for a long time because I'm, you know, of course, I've been a Russian bot for most of my, you know, adult life for the past 10 years or so. I don't know, man. Trudeau, he's a funny little dude. I wonder what he would look like with a mustache, if you know what I'm saying there. We certainly don't have to guess what he would look like with a darker face painted on himself. He does that frequently, yet no one seems to take offense except us. Yeah, this guy, since you watched the video, I have to ask, how did I do with the read? Because I can't do his voice, but I think I nailed his cadence because I've seen the guy talk many times.
Yeah, I think you did all right. And I tend to always try to look at the big picture. I think second hour, I'll talk about this with Jerry Gray, who's out in Beijing in China. And, you know, all this TikTok hubbub and the Restrict Act. Everyone's doing it now. U.S. now, Canada, European countries. And so basically they're going to criminalize speech. And, you know, that's where they're trying to go. And that's basically our last, you know, that's the final frontier now in most countries. Where if you basically thought crime, so there's going to be now laws regarding criminal way of thinking, not even acting out on anything illegal. If you think something that is what they call illegal, you can go to jail. So, yeah, scary times we live in. Ruckus, any final thought for us?
Yeah, I heard they know what you're thinking, Hervory, so you need to go directly to jail. Do not pass go. Do not collect your universal basic income.
No, you know where I'm going to go? I'm going to go down to South Mexico in the jungles of Chiapas or some desolate beach somewhere down here in Mexico or Latin America. So just live on coconuts, sell coconuts, that sort of deal. That's my plan C. So we'll see how things develop. I got a great guest. First hour, we'll be talking about Great Reset Christianity. Pastor Andrew Woodard from New York. Feel free to call in and chat. We'll be right back after this break.
TNT Radio's George Eliason.
We started talking about the foreigners that are fighting there in Ukraine, in the foreign battalion from Western countries committing crimes in Ukraine. And we're talking about serious stuff, war crimes. We're talking about murder. We're talking about torture. We're talking about rounding people up so Azov can do it. And we're talking about people that have happily been involved in this for over a year now. And some of these people since 2014. 2014, you have an American that was with Azov when they captured a Donetsk soldier. They nailed him to a cross, lifted him up, and then lit him on fire. And he's unhappy because he's on film. That was his only complaint about it. And he's done more and more war crimes afterwards. He's left the battlefield. He's back in America, and he's very distinctive features. They call him Skullface because he has a tattoo of a skull on his face. Brilliant. But, I mean, that's just the way it goes, huh?
George Eliason on today's News Talk, TNT Radio. A better business tip from TNT Radio. The benefits of advertising on today's News Talk, TNT Radio, should be clear to businesses of any shape or size. It can be accessed anywhere, anytime, by anybody, and is the perfect way to build brand awareness and stimulate digital activity. If you'd like more information about advertising on TNT Radio, simply fill out your details on our contact page and we'll be in touch. To find out more, go to tntradio.live. We don't talk at you.
Blah, 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 blah.
Shut up! We talk with you.
What do you think of this idea?
Let me tell you this.
What's wrong with this picture?
From government overreach to the global plandemic, TNT Radio invites you to join us as we separate facts from fiction, truth from propaganda, day in, day out. Call the open line anytime. In the U.S. and Canada, call 1-888-201-6425. In the U.K., call 033-024-1026. And in Australia and New Zealand, call 1-800-670-310. Free speech has a home on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
I am joined by Pastor Andrew Woodard, who moved to Manhattan way back in 2014, was ordained and installed as a pastor at Manor Community Church in 2015. He's worked for several churches, including Established Churches, Revitalizations, and Church Plants. He's currently at Providence Baptist Church in New York City. The website is pbc.nyc. That's a great web address. And he's author of the forthcoming Great Reset Christianity, How Woke Evangelicals Twist Scripture to Advance the Left's Agenda. You can pre-order it at Amazon. Comes out at the end of June. And I first learned about him via the Sovereign Nations Mere Simulacrity Conference, which I had hoped to attend in December in Arizona, and I couldn't make it. And his Twitter is Andrew N. Woodard. Welcome to TNT Radio, Pastor Woodard.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
Thanks for coming on. And is your book, you know, is your book already written? Tell us a bit about the book that'll be coming out.
Yeah, so my book is written. I've gotten a final manuscript and kind of cleaned up formatting, and they sent it to the printer a couple weeks ago. So we should be on time for the release on June 27th. So pretty excited, but also pretty nervous about it, because this is not, you know, it's not fun to be unpopular. It's not fun to have people hate you. And this is a project that other people have sort of strongly encouraged me to do and to publish, rather than just laying low or keeping quiet on this topic.
Well, you know, I think you'll develop thick skin if you haven't already. And I think especially Christianity needs more of this type of analysis. And, you know, when I read the book, I hope to have you back on my podcast in the summer to really do a deep dive. But any thought on, you know, I'm a huge fan of Michael O'Fallon. I think he's one of the few people that are really hitting things on the head. And you spoke, I think, at the Mere Simulacrity conference at Sovereign Nations. How was that like, and what was sort of your takeaway from all of that?
Yeah, so Mike is a personal friend of mine. I was just hanging out with him on Friday down in Florida. He invited me to speak at the conference once he found out I was going to be attending it. And I met him in 2019, I guess, and he just really helped me connect a lot of dots and understanding what the things were that I had already been noticing, the woke agendas, and just tying everything together to understand what's behind the issues at hand. And so anyway, he invited me to speak at the conference and then asked what I would like to speak on. And I had attended a meeting here in New York that is what the subject of my talk ended up being about, which I think was titled something like The Church of Wall Street or something. And a fairly simple premise, but it's basically that secular business / Wall Street has or is attempting to employ religious ideals and religious language and religion itself in order to advance the Great Reset, to advance the sustainable development goals of the World Economic Forum and the United Nations. And and these are all, you know, woke professing Christians that are saying, hey, we need to get into the business sector in order to push these agendas. So just kind of connecting some of those ideas in a way that, honestly, it shouldn't be that controversial to say that it's happening, but there are still people who would try to say, no, that's a conspiracy theory. But the reality is it's happening, and there's lots of evidence for it.
Yeah, it's definitely happening. And I mean, particularly for Christians, you know, no one's perfect, no church is perfect, no institution is perfect, but there are now, you know, wolves coming in. And I mean, I recall an instance 5 years ago here in Mexico. I had an American student and whose parents were pastors. The mom was a pastor. That's already problematic, but they were very prosperity gospel. And I mean, as a Christian, I would try to teach history and politics as truthfully as possible. And, you know, when it was Martin Luther King Jr. Day, I would teach that, you know, it's an ugly truth, but the U.S. government assassinated him. You know, Coretta Scott King, his wife, they had a court case in 1999, and the actual verdict of the court case said that government agencies participated in the conspiracy to assassinate. And this Christian American prosperity gospel kid got so angry. The mom sends an email, you know, to the principal calling me anti-American conspiracy. And so there's people that can't handle this. I mean, have you come across people who have a hard time digesting these bitter truths?
Well, for sure. Mostly, mostly on social media, but there have been a few here and there in person that, I mean, obviously if I just walked around New York City, New York City is very, very left wing. So the average person in New York, thinks that, all the things that folks like you and I would just believe, they would say, no, those are conspiracy theories. And, but there are also plenty of professing Christians who even call themselves conservative, who would say that, you know, these things are conspiracy theories and that you're making things up and you're overreacting. And, even though basically every quote conspiracy theory that we've pointed out for years now have ended up being proven true and demonstrated to be true and admitted to be true by the people who pulled them off. So yeah, I do know a handful of people personally who would call the Great Reset a conspiracy theory. And even like if you go on Google and just type in the Great Reset, you'll see articles pop up that are saying that you're a conspiracy theorist if you are against it, basically. Like there's a BBC article that says, what is the Great Reset and how did it get hijacked by conspiracy theories? Even though, you know, normal, sane people who are against it are against it because of the World Economic Forum's content and their own videos and their own books and the things that they're doing. So there's nothing theoretical about their opposition to it. It is a genuine conspiracy. It's not a theory.
Yeah, it's the gaslighting is incredible. And everything I do, I use, I'm a former professor, so I use always official sources. And they tell us themselves that literally, you're not going to eat meat, you're going to eat bugs, we're taking away your cars. If people pay attention, you know, I can see it here in Mexico, they're already in many different ways limiting people's abilities to have a private vehicle, you know, according to the local planning by the government. So yeah, it's crazy how it's unfolding before our eyes. We're going to have to jump to a quick break. Again, you can pre-order the book on Amazon, Great Reset Christianity. We'll be right back.
What time is it?
Now, TNT Radio News.
You know what time it is.
Yeah. Time to read some news.
This is James O'Neill with a check of today's headlines. New Zealand has signaled willingness to join the AUKUS security pact with the US, UK, and Australia, but only in a non-nuclear capacity. Sweden's military has reportedly cracked down on TikTok, decreeing that staff members are no longer allowed to use the Chinese-owned video sharing application on their work devices because of security concerns. The British Defense Ministry has shown Ukrainian soldiers handling depleted uranium armor-piercing rounds in a video released to mark the completion of their training on Challenger 2 tanks.
On air
and on the app.
I listen on the app.
Stay up to date around the clock.
I listen, therefore I know.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
We're back with Pastor Andrew Woodard of Providence Baptist Church in New York City. That's pbc.nyc. I just subscribed to their YouTube channel, and I'll be listening to his sermons as well. And before we dig deeper into the Church of Wall Street, maybe to get your sort of bigger view context on, you know, your take or view on the New World Order or the Great Reset or world government. For me, it's basically, I feel like the goal is to create this world global governance or global government. And, you know, many Christians understand this. In the past, I've interviewed Pastor Archer Palowski from out in Canada and Henry Hildebrandt as well, who've suffered persecution, especially in Canada, which is crazy. But before getting to the Church of Wall Street, what's your take on this, you know, this big picture of what do you view is really going on? And how advanced is this program?
Yes, that's a broad question. But within the church, basically the fundamental premise of my book is that the woke movement that we've seen arise seemingly out of nowhere, but if people are paying attention, they can look back and see stuff from 10 years ago and see the foundations of it being laid. But that the woke movement was really created for the purpose of advancing the Great Reset, which is synonymous with or driving at Agenda 2030, which is the World Economic Forum's vision for a utopian society with 17 sustainable development goals. And this is effectively a new religion, and it is something that the founders of it and the planners and organizers of it have said that you will comply with this, and all of the nations of the world will submit to this, and you will make these goals. And so it's this forced system. And another one of my friends, James Lindsay, has exposed how this is rooted in and originated from Marxism, and that Marxism is not the absence of religion, but it is a religion, and that wokeness is a religion, and that then by implication, this whole Great Reset agenda is by its very nature a religious agenda. But in order to accomplish it, they have to get the church in line. Because one of the things I showed in my presentation at the last Sovereign Nations conference was this image of a three-legged stool. And that three-legged stool has government, church or religion, and business or Wall Street. So those are the three sectors that they have to control if they're going to accomplish any type of agenda. So you see, you know, woke politicians everywhere. You see them, like every politician on the left, and you know, half of the Republicans. And then you see businesses, big tech, Google, Facebook, all of the big companies that are all completely in lockstep with this. You see this through wide-scale censoring all during COVID. You see this through false fact checkers. But they need to get the church on board, because the potential is that, you know, you can get the governments of the world and the corporations of the world in line, but there's still millions, if not billions, of, well, technically, by some people's math, they would say there's 2 billion Christians, including Protestants and Catholics. But if you add Protestants, Catholics, Muslims, and Jews together, that makes up, you know, nearly half the world's population that technically is conservative and does not believe in a multiplicity of genders. They do not believe in abortion. They do not believe in any of these major agendas that are the World Economic Forum Sustainable Development Goals. And they don't believe that the Middle East should be offered abortion access. They don't believe that you know, those types of things are good things. So in order to advance this agenda, they have to get religion to align with it. And to make that happen, they have to get the leaders, the religious leaders, to align with this agenda. So I believe this is the reason why everything has gone woke over the last, you know, 5 to 10 years or so, including all major denominations in the US and every noteworthy parachurch organization, whether you're talking campus ministries or publishing houses or schools, colleges, universities, seminaries. They've all been heavily, heavily infected by the woke agenda. And it's been this long march through civilization. It's been, you know, a Anthony Gramsci agenda that has been played, and a lot of Christians have been asleep at the wheel. A lot of Christians have been, you know, homeschooling and running their, you know, isolated life out in the middle of nowhere, and really not paying much attention to what's going on, and having something of an escapist attitude, Instead of standing their ground and fighting, they're retreating, they're fleeing the big bad cities, they're fleeing blue states, they're running to conservative areas, then kind of unplugging and just oftentimes ignoring these issues. But the problem is the issues meet them there too. The issues are just as dominant and prevalent in Texas as they are in, well, maybe not just as, but you know, you're going to find the trans story hour at the public libraries in Texas and Florida, as well as you find them in New York. So you can run, but you can't hide. You can run, but you're still going to find this agenda is everywhere. And if you can get politicians and religious leaders to be more open and more transparent about what they really believe, you'll find that things are actually far worse than you think.
Yeah. And I mean, the big focus is on the Western world, Canada, USA, Australia, New Zealand, the Anglosphere, Western Europe. And I've lived in Mongolia and Kazakhstan and here in Mexico and some of those countries. It's, I want to ask you about that, but it's harder to penetrate. And just to what you were saying just today, I was reading this stuff is making headway. The new First Minister of Scotland, who happens to be Humza Yousaf, a Muslim now leading Scotland, and he's come out as a Muslim and said that he approves of homosexual marriage and LGBT. And you know, as you said, this is it's a new religion, and I've viewed it. You know, it's got the components of LGBT transgender. So basically, the hetero family is not okay. I tell, you know, when people call me something, I respond, well, are you heterophobic? Are you Christophobic? You know, because they try to sell it as tolerance, but it's a zero sum game the way I see it. You can't have both. You can't have like a win-win, you know, and then you have this Gaia paganism. I mean, this is nothing new. We go back thousands of years. It's, the whole climate narrative they're putting in there, as you said, the Marxist religion. And how do you think it could, as you mentioned, half the world is conservative. And then in all these countries like Middle East, parts of Africa, parts of Latin America, how do you think they would be able to break this? I'm trying to figure this out because I can kind of see it as maybe a war of attrition. They just wear down those parts of the world with the propaganda and introducing into schools this stuff. How do you view them advancing in these places that would seem hard to crack?
Well, the first thing that pops into my mind is China's Belt and Road Initiative. And that, for listeners who are not familiar with the Belt and Road Initiative, it's basically recreating or building the new Silk Road. So the Silk Road was, you know, hundreds of years ago where China had all these trade routes throughout, Asia, Europe, into Africa. And so the Belt and Road Initiative is a new Silk Road or a new way for them to have global economic power. And their methods are basically to go into third world countries and build airports and shipping ports and power grids and just all this infrastructure, but there's strings attached. And those strings that are attached are, you know, we, China, will have access to this or use it or control over it. Building it is done exclusively with Chinese labor. And they're also making money through these ports and through these places. So because they control it. So these third world countries, whether they're in Africa or Asia or South America, they will be effectively in debt to China for forever. And so China will control them through that means. Now, the issue is that China really is making no effort whatsoever to abide by the 17 Sustainable Development Goals, but the World Economic Forum and the United Nations don't seem to care. That doesn't matter to them because the reality is they're not actually for creating a good world. They're for tearing down the West and destroying the West and freedom and life as we know it, as as people who believe in principles of liberty and freedom and freedom of speech and religious liberty and things like that. So, so yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I believe it was your lecture, forgetting the name again, Church of Wall Street, where you, I mean, this was pretty shocking there. So, you know, there's the Great Reset World Economic Forum, but apparently there's a Christian Economic Forum. Is that right?
Yeah. The Christian Economic Forum is a, kind of a Christian version of the World Economic Forum. And the idea is that, according to them, that Christians hold half, it was either half of the world's wealth or half of the US's wealth. I don't remember the exact numbers, but just look on their website and you'll see it. Christians hold this massive percentage of wealth. And, according to the website, they want to leverage that for these altruistic goals. But if you've been paying any attention, you know that, these words do not mean what they appear to mean. They are, what's the word that Mike O'Fallon uses? The definition is a lie with legs. I can't think right now, but anyway, these terms that are, fertile fallacy. So you have fertile fallacies, which is a lie with legs. It's something that can be chanted, it can be shouted, it can be, you know, spray painted on buildings, and it's words like Black Lives Matter. So Black Lives Matter, you know, everybody would agree that Black people's lives do matter, but it's built with all of these false premises, such as there are people who don't think that Black Lives Matter, so you need to, and it's like, that's nonsense. Everybody believes Black Lives Matter. And so you can cultivate these fertile fallacies in order to build a movement around these slogans and phrases. And so it is with the Christian Economic Forum using words like, well, generosity. And let me pull up their website right now. Christian.
If you want to hold that thought, Pastor Woodard, in any case, we got to jump to our break and we can come back and continue discussing the CEF, Christian Economic Forum. And while we're at break, you can check out the book, pre-order it at Amazon, Great Reset, Christianity, How Woke Evangelicals Twist Scripture to Advance the Left's Agenda. And find Andrew on Twitter at Andrew N. Woodard. We'll be right back on TNT Radio.
Give me a minute with TNT Radio's Steve Malzberg.
Previously, I told you about President Biden's nominee to head the Federal Aviation Administration, Philip Washington, a military veteran who is CEO of Denver International Airport. Now, after his Senate hearing some 3 weeks ago, I let you hear how, based on his inability to answer one question after another on vital issues, there was no way this man should be confirmed to the position. Remember this?
What airspace requires an ADS-B transponder? Quickly, please.
Thank you for the question, Senator. Not sure I can answer that question right now.
That's okay. We'll just keep going. So what are the six types of special use airspace that protect this national security that appear on FAA charts? Quickly, please.
Sorry, Senator, I cannot answer that question.
Can you tell me what causes an aircraft to spin or to stall?
Again, Senator, I'm not a pilot.
Thank goodness Washington has withdrawn his nomination after it became evident that he would not get voted out of committee for a full vote on the Senate floor. Washington is Black, and in this administration, that's probably why he was nominated. Wokeness can be dangerous. Thanks for giving me a minute. I'm Steve Malzberg for TNT Radio.
Challenging the consensus and debunking the narrative. This is Viewpoint.
Negotiations on new rules for dealing with future pandemics have begun at the World Health Organization, WHO. The first meeting of an intergovernmental negotiating body took place behind closed doors on the 24th of February 2022. The UN Health Agency's 194 member countries were represented. It will be backed by a Washington-led effort to build a global pandemic prevention fund hosted by the World Bank. Among the suggested proposals for the pact is the sharing of data and genome sequences of emerging viruses and rules on equitable vaccine distribution.
If you're talking about it,
a poem
one today. It says, and always one moon, like a silent drum tapping at every rooftop and every window on every in of every county, country. Let me start this over again.
We are talking about it. Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
We're on our final segment with Pastor Andrew Woodard from New York City. You can check out his website, pbc.nyc, Providence Baptist Church. And we're discussing his forthcoming book, which you can pre-order at Amazon out at the end of June, Great Reset Christianity. And continuing on the Christian Economic Forum, I don't know if there's a couple books that I've read. I really like the German theologian Martin Erdmann, who's written books on, I think, world ecumenism or world federation, and how churches way back in the day were grafted in to this movement for world federation and world government. And there's another book called that I have here with me in physical copy, New Evangelicalism, The New World Order. And then it mentions some of the stuff I think you might have mentioned. Here it talks about Peter Drucker, corporate America, and how these people, are their strategies are being used within the church. So if you want to continue on the Christian Economic Forum and what they're doing within the church.
Sure. So the Christian Economic Forum and Faith-Driven Investor are both sort of two peas in a pod. I'm not sure what sort of organizational alignment there is. I assume that they're two completely separate entities. But as far as agenda, philosophy, direction, they're one and the same. So I'm looking on the address for Faith-Driven Investor, but Christian Economic Forum, you pull up their website and you see right at the top, we convene the world's top problem solvers to advance God's inspired solutions. So it's the same utopian vision that we're here to fix the world, and we're going to do this with big money, big meetings, and the leaders and movers and shakers of this world. And another friend of mine named Thomas Littleton, who has a blog called 30 Pieces of Silver, he has really been doing a lot of research on these things, including what you just referenced with Peter Drucker and Bob Buford and the Leadership Network and all of the connections there to everything woke that's happening today. Even though I believe both of those men are dead, but a lot of their students and proteges are still very much alive and very active, including certain very famous men like Rick Warren and Ed Stetzer. They are pushing all of these agendas. They're the first ones to say that you got to go get the vaccine, you got to get your booster shots. They're posting about it on social media. One of the things that it's a bit of a tangent, but in my book, I referenced this story. I think my publisher said I referenced this twice in the book, but I was at a meeting where Ed Stetzer was leading the meeting here in New York, and he was sort of glowing and bragging about how he, the day after George Floyd, he got on the phone with Rick Warren and told him he needed to produce content or material in order to instruct America's pastors how to respond to George Floyd. So there would be a script, basically. He also spoke about how he had a meeting with the heads of all these denominations at the White House, and the goal was to create a cohort of 10,000 pastors in the U.S. In order to get the church to line up with the COVID agenda and the vaccine agenda and all of those things. That's a bit of a tangent, but it's all tied together. So they need to control Christian investing and Christian money, because Christians control 50% of America's wealth, or I think it was the world's wealth. So that's a lot of money. That's trillions of dollars. And if that money is invested in traditional ways, it's not going to have the same kind of impact that they would want in order to streamline things and get get that money aligned with the Great Reset agenda. So it's important for people to realize and remember that words do not mean what they often at first glance seem to mean, that people will use language in very deceptive ways. And that's what these organizations are doing. And unfortunately, they are often getting very kind, well-intentioned people to get on board with them, because it's like, well, who wouldn't want to end human trafficking, or who wouldn't want to end labor trafficking or modern slavery or all of these sort of things? But oftentimes those are just buzzwords that are being used to manipulate people and get them to fall in line with a completely different agenda.
We got a couple of minutes left, and I have to ask you, I've interviewed in the past a couple of times as well, Patrick Wood of Technocracy, who spoke at Mir Simulacrity, and he's also a Christian. And I've asked this question as well to him and to Pastor Pawlowski regarding, I know nobody knows, and we can talk for hours about this, but just, you know, your sort of gut feeling of where we are when it comes to end times. You know, I want to say first, I'm not afraid, you know, because when you have faith, you're not afraid, you know, unto death. But there are things that are worrisome. And, you know, my biggest fear is this social credit system they're trying to bring in, this cashless society. You know, I'm already banned from Patreon. I can't use PayPal anymore since last year. There's people having their bank accounts shut now. And so what, you know, and Patrick Wood said, and Pastor Pawlowski, that, you know, it's these things reoccur throughout history, these devices by the devil. Each time it's like a wave that gets worse. This could be it. Maybe we stave it off for whatever reason, and it rears its head in another century. But you got a couple minutes left. What's sort of your feeling when it comes to how bad the situation is?
Yeah. So overall, my eschatology is that I'm historic pre-mill, which is pre-mill post-trib. So I'm not anticipating getting rescued out of this. I could be wrong on that, and I pray that I'm wrong, but I'm instead anticipating going through the tribulation, going through whatever it is that God has in store for us. And there was definitely a time where I thought that 2030 and Agenda 2030 completely lined up with an Antichrist type of situation. I mean, here in New York City, shortly after Biden's win and then installation, they started a 7-year countdown clock in Union Square in New York City. And every you know, left behind memory in my brain started going off like, wait a second, what is this? But I think that this is either leading to the apocalypse or leading to a fake apocalypse. And if it's a fake apocalypse, it's not going to be successful. But there's also an issue that there are people who are on the globalist, woke, left side of things that are religious and even professing Christians who have an overt intention of ushering in the end of the world through basically forcing a nuclear war between the US and China. And if they can do that, if they can make that happen, they believe that they will force the return of Christ, and that they will be raptured and they will be rescued and everybody else is going to hell because they're in a cult. And so they have these weird views. And that also happens to be a man named Ronnie Chan, who his money was used to basically buy the Harvard School of Public Health, which has been renamed the T.H. Chan School of Public Health. And his staff member director from the T.H. Chan School of Public Health was sent to the CDC to be the head of that. And her name is Rochelle Walensky. So she's been creating U.S. policy on COVID stuff through the direction of her owners, basically, which are coming out of China. And so she's the one who made up the 6-foot social distancing rule. And just a lot of these arbitrary things that serve no purpose other than obedience training, basically. I am not panicking about this. And I am not fleeing the city. I think that if this is the apocalypse coming up, it's not going to... well, the first off, there's no point in running. Secondly, if it is the apocalypse, there's no point in being in rural America when this is happening, because like, if there's going to be global catastrophic wars and horrible things happening, then it's going to happen everywhere. And so, yeah.
Yeah, and I'm pretty much agree with you on your position, and I'm definitely not an accelerationist. We do not need to go to war or any sort of thing like that. We got about 40 seconds left. Tell us best place to find you, where to get your book and all of that.
Yeah, so you can find me on social media. Twitter is the best spot. My username is @AndrewNWoodard. The link to my book is there in my profile. You can also search for it on Amazon at Great Reset Christianity. And yeah, feel free to contact me or send me a message if you want to have me on other podcasts or programs. I'd be happy to do that, because we're supposed to sell books. So that's what my publisher wants.
Yeah, I'll be pre-ordering your book. Thanks so much. You're welcome back on TNT. And I will be right back after this break.